Blog Talk Radio.
Clown Prince of Crime just said, and away we go. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's 9:04 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States. We're broadcasting live, 6 feet above sea level. I'm your host, Fogo Man, and this is Paragon Radio. And we are 10 days away from a most momentous occasion in my life, which we'll get to in a few moments. But for now, I'm bringing on my co-host. He's mad. He's a Viking. He's Mad Viking.
Like, enjoy your Kool-Aid because it's National Kool-Aid Day, man.
Is it really? Well, yeah, I'm drinking some... I'm drinking some like cranberry crystal light with some like detox thing in it with some vitamins in it. So, okay, close enough. Close enough. I'll say it's the. I'm drinking my version of Kool-Aid. Good evening, sir. Happy Paragon Radio. But we just call it every Friday is Paragon Radio Friday. And the 10 days, I'm referring to, somebody says, well, according to my birth certificate, I'm turning the big cough, 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 5-0. Good Lord. One of my friends reached out and goes, good Lord. I know, are we turning 50? I was like, oh, that's what our birth certificate says. He turns, you know, you're as young as you feel. I know, you're as young as you feel. You know, thanks to reading comic books and playing video games and having plenty of nephews and nieces that are much, much younger than me, and I don't feel that old. Of course, when they, you know, the hernia discs pop up, you know, that's when I feel it. But otherwise, I'm not feeling 50. People say I don't look 50. People say I look in my mid-30s. So, God bless them. I'm going with that. yes, you're right. I'm a mid-30er. I'm just going with that one. I mean, what's sad is, though, I know people in their mid-30s who look 50, so.
Yep.
Suckers.
Who I went with high school with lived in Florida. Yeah, they tanned themselves so much. Leather, and now they look older.
Oh, my God. Oh yeah, I worked at Fry's, and this woman, I mean, she was only like 15 years older than us at the time, and she would come in, and you could tell she was drinking all day at the beach clubs in the Hamptons, and she came in, and the manager looking at her like, you know, like she staggered to her desk, she plopped down, because we were in information, you know, because the first 2 years you get in the company, you have to work. She plopped down, sunburned, you know, leather skinned, drunk, no makeup on. She brought a makeup kit with her. She thought she'd do that at her desk. Turns out the big office manager was there, didn't realize it. She's in flip flops, denim short, Daisy Dukes. He's going, hell, get her in here now. All you hear is him yelling her name, and she had the nerve to slowly say, who the bleep is calling me now? He goes, oh, that would be me, you know, your big boss. Well, suddenly her tan turned pale, stood right up, goes, hi, boss. I know you were going to be here. No, of course not. Then maybe you wouldn't look like you were heading, you just came from the beach, which I'm sure you just did at 6 o'clock at night. Because we all worked the night shift. It turns out if you worked the night shift, you didn't have to work as many hours. If you worked the night shift, you only had to work from 7 to 1, and you got paid for a full 8-hour shift. So during the summer, a lot of us were like, wait a minute, I wanted this night shift thing. So we were like, wait, this is awesome. I'll take that. So then it turned out a lot of times, like when you worked, you had to work that night shift. But it's like, well, wait a minute. Not only that, you got paid for an extra hour because no one wanted to work that shift. Like, think about it. You're working 6 hours. You're actually getting paid for a 9-hour shift. So what's the complaints? And you get a half hour lunch. So you're working 5.5 hours for 9 hours. I mean, you're working 5 different hours getting paid for 9. But she looked horrible. It's like, we're like, all right, she told us she's 40, right? Yeah. It's like, she looked 40. He go, and you hear her. It was her, him, the big manager, and his assistant. And she's sitting there going, good Lord. And you hear her as the door shuts behind a closed door. Good Lord, woman, you look 40 going on effing 70. Get some self-respect. First of all, I wanted to call you in because this is what she'd do on her breaks. She would talk. There were like 5 phones in the break room. And she would have a guy on a different one every night, and she thought it was cute. She goes, first of all, and she's yelling loud enough, we could hear her, you could hear her across the thing. We work the directory board with people calling for information, for phone numbers. It's bad enough that everybody could hear her. She's yelling at her, the break room is not for you to talk to all your many boyfriends so you could cheat on your husband and tie her up. Those phones are for people to call to check in with their families in case there's an emergency. Not for you to socialize with all your boyfriends, set up your booty calls for after work.
Oh.
Understand? Yeah, oh, they flipped out on her. They said this. Right now, blood test. Mandatory. Right now.
Oh, boy.
Drunken test. You know, something like that.
Bye-bye.
I swear to God, yeah. Oh, and if it's above a 0.0, you are suspended 2 weeks. I don't care how you get home. Oh, I know. Go use the phones and call your 5 boyfriends. Hold on. She went 10 minutes later. She's in the break room for 20 minutes. We didn't see her the rest of the night until 2 weeks later.
Well,
like, shit. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Like, be careful what you do. You know, guys, like I said, it's not the age. It's how you feel. It's also how you act. Because she was 40, acting like a teenager, got caught because she looked like a 70-year-old. So, you know, act your age, but it's okay to act younger, but act with maturity at times. You know, it's okay to feel younger, but don't act like a 2-year-old.
Yep. Well, we are on City of Heroes Everlasting at the Atlas Park steps with Stalwart Scout. We also have the chat room is also has Bringing It Boy. And also George Mosley.
George Mosley, too, has... Hello, George Mosley, too. He has joined us this evening.
And I am also in Champions Online backstage as Bunny Knight goes on.
Very good. I told everybody you're going to be WCOC. All right, I'm mistaken. I'm sorry if you're hanging out at WCOC. I didn't know where you were going to be tonight. I'm so sorry.
And we have Bringing It Boy, maturity is overrated. Hey, how you doing?
That's right. Well, it depends. No. I don't like when my grandmother was alive, she said, you know, she always had this thing to say to me, like, I have to act like no, okay, stop. It's like, stop it. I have to do this, and I got stop it. Anything to get me to not do this, to not to do that, it's like, knock it off. I'm allowed to go have fun with my life, all right? Anything to not have fun. She just wanted me to sit there with her. It's like, anything, it's like, what? I can't go dance on a dance? Like, when we were at a wedding, oh, no, act your age. Like, yeah, there are people, like, 20 years younger than you on the dance floor, and I know they're way older than me. So stop it. Just stop it. So I was trying to tell me what to do with my life.
Yeah.
Like I said, right after I graduated college, I it was the funniest story. Right after I graduated college, she started treating me like a 4-year-old. I remember every year we went to Point Pleasant Beach, I always went to the beach. It was right down the road, right? Like a block and a half away from us. Went to the beach, nothing. Graduated college, went to the beach. All of a sudden, my 10-year-old nephew goes, Grandma said, that's enough now. Like, what do you mean that's enough? I've been here 10 minutes, so what are you doing here? Look up. She's on the boardwalk waving me to come up. I'm like, tell her I'm on the beach all day like I always do. Well, this started years and years of her having to know where I was, what I was doing every moment. I'm like, stop this. This is absurd. With never an explanation as to why this all started. Never found out. what started this whole control thing with her. Everybody said, oh, she loves you so much. No, no, no. No, this is more like she's trying to control everything I'm doing. Stop. Stop. Anyway, enough of that. Here we are. Let's get on with it, because I've had such a week. I gotta let the good times roll, baby. We got some things to talk about. For people who are watching the superhero shows, as you know, Stargirl had its season one finale, which is awesome. And for fans of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., oh boy, 2-hour series finale Wednesday night. Whoo, what a series finale it was. And let me tell you, callbacks to the first episode. Not to give away, there was a scene where Coulson looks up. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, oh, just waiting for the cavalry. And May jumps through the ceiling, and she goes, and I'm the cavalry. And if you guys remember, when they first introduced May, they go, oh, that's her. That's the cavalry. That's always been her nickname. And the last couple of seasons, they stopped calling her that for some reason. They stopped saying that was her nickname, and they brought that back. But I'm like, he looks and goes, waiting for the cavalry. Oh, May's going to jump through the ceiling. Bang. Lots of cool callbacks. So if you're a fan, I don't know if you ever saw the show. I'm Ed.
Bits and pieces. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, it was really cool how they did it. How they brought everything back, how everything came full circle, how the team moved on, how they ended it was really cool. So I don't want to give anything. You know me, I like to be spoiler free. I just had to bring up that one little scene as an example. So there you go. There you go. Some people said it was heart-wrenching. It was, because the show's over now. Officially, it's over. I hope we see these guys again. You know, and another, you know, the ones who, I don't want to give it up. Yeah, I hope we see them, you know, in the movies and other TV shows now. I hope we see them again. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope they just say, oh, well, I got to go. You know, I hope it's not like a Doctor Who and what they do with, like, their, oh, God, what do you call them?
Daleks?
No, with the ones who travel with him.
Just know them as sidekicks, you know, Billy Piper.
No, there's a special name for them when you travel with the Doctor. Companions. You know,
companions,
like once they're off the show. I just said that. Yeah, they're called companions. I said that, a companion. Yeah, they're called companions. Like once companions written off the show, you know, if they're alive or not, that's the last you see of them. Although the modern Who, they kind of try and bring them back once in a blue moon. But pretty much like the old Who, even if they were alive, well, except Sarah Jane, they brought her back for the modern Who. You know, they gave her her own show. But more or less, the classic Who, once, you know, unless a big special happens, you know. But again, modern Who years, they had to wait that long. But, you know, that always got me in the classic Who. Like, once... You know, when Doctor died, they slowly wrote off the old companion, and as Lash is all, like, they're never mentioned. It's like, so what happened to the companions? They're still alive. What happened to them? You know? Mm-hmm. I think they should have a Companions Arts Club. You know? Like a Companions Anonymous Club or something like that. I was like, yeah, I used to travel with the Doctor. Now my life sucks. I used to travel time and space. Now I don't. I'm stuck here doing nothing.
All right. Well, we got some business to take care of.
I know.
Right,
first things first. It's that time of year, except earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, the Alto brought it to my attention because they wanted me, they wanted people to start raising money for it. I met the August challenge well ahead of schedule, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to try and raise money because this year I'm going to try and go for $1,000. Trying to raise $1,000. It's that time of year for the Extra Life Gaming Charity Marathon. We need some music for that. Hold on. I do have something. Wait. This year it's time for the Extra. Good Lord, that was loud.
There you go. I got an ad if you want.
Wow!
As well.
Holy
Let's hope for
shit!
It.
Damn, my ears! Was that really loud for you guys too, or was that just me?
Oh, yeah. It was. I'm the one that usually
Damn.
Plays that. Because I'm usually
God,
right
boys,
there at
the
board.
I know. I think I had the thing. I think I had the thing turned up to 11.
Well, I got an ad that was, if you want.
Oh, you have a new ad for this year?
I made a new ad.
Okay, cool. I would have loaded up sooner.
I blanked out.
It's okay.
All right. But describe what you're doing while I get the ad ready.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So for those people not in the know, every year with theextralife.org, players who are doing this, such as myself, I do it a little bit differently because I have a bad back and I can't sit 24 hours like I used to do it in the earlier years. Right now I can't do it anymore. So what I do is I divvy it over a couple of days. I sit in front of my computer and I play for about 6 hours a day for 4 days straight. What I do is I play on my computer. Let's say I'll play City of Heroes or Champions online, whichever game I feel like playing that day. Okay, saving that. Thank you. Then what I'll do is I will play nonstop, maybe occasional bathroom break. Sorry, God, that happens. I'll play as long as I can. And this year, I'm trying to work. Ehrlich has my new laptop, trying to fill the database to get it from him in time. So you guys can watch it. Last year we tried it. My old laptop, my old PC can't handle it. This new one is supposed to be able to. So you guys can watch along with me. So I'm going to play video games. I'm going to play, you know, superheroes because that's a thing I do. Going to raise money for charity. I'm going to try and raise $1,000. Going to try and do it ahead of time. Right now. Hold on. Let me get back to it. I hope
the
it's rolling.
Is
the current total is.
Here we go. We go to the tote
board. Okay, there. That's. The tote board says it's tote. Ah.
$143. Okay. On the first day.
Now, I say that because that was over in Champions Online. That means the Champions Online players raised $143. So now, this is where the challenge comes in. To you, City of Heroes players. Let's see if you guys, you good City of Heroes.
Or any other games, because we have other people who listen on different games. Let's be fair.
Right, but I'm gonna put in the broadcast. So if you people listening here, I'm posting it broadcast. I'm posting the link on broadcast. Okay. That is my donation page. Go there. Donate what you can. No amount small, no amounts too big. Just go there. Give what you can. Okay? Every time your donation is made, I will play that song we just did. I will play the Toad Board sound, and we'll read the amount off.
And anytime on Dawn Radio I see it and I'm on the air, I'll hit the song.
And he's on quite a bit, let me tell you. He's on quite a bit, I'll tell you. Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. I'm loading it up now as we speak. So.
Okay. And send a link over to the chat room. In case our two listeners,
oh,
or it's mostly
okay.
Bring
yeah.
It Boy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Is there more for the Watchmen?
Yes.
We're going to get to that in a second because the whole DC thing, that's in play. So we'll get to that in a second. We'll answer that in a bit.
Yes. Yes. There you go. That is... Okay, yes. And you guys in the chat room, that is my link also. That's the same link I posted here in broadcast. Okay, I think we have it here. You know what's so funny? I have so many extra life things, and of course the 2021 is loading up. I have to delete the other one, the previous ones. I have to delete all the previous ones. It's like 2018, 2017, 2016. And you know what's funny too? I think like one of them just is extra life. They don't think that. I think, oh, we'll just do it this year. We'll see what happens. I remember, good Lord.
Last year was your biggest year.
Yeah.
Last year was your biggest year.
Yeah, so far it was like
we are so close. We're past halfway already.
I know, yeah. Last year was what, almost 300, right?
Yeah.
I was surprised about that. I was like, good Lord. I was like, yeah, keep it going, man. You
and
know, I knew I wasn't gonna make 500. I would have been happy getting 500. I knew I was going to get it, but I said, yo, let's keep it going because it's, like I say, it's for the children. So just keep it going for them. Just do it for them. Let's see how much we could raise, you know, and just do it. Let's see how much we could raise, and we'll have something to shoot for this year. So. Okay, I'm just waiting for the thing to load up that Mad Viking did. I'm going to refresh this. Hold on. I'll just refresh because it could say it's loading up and taking forever. Meanwhile, it could be loaded up. So that's why once in a while you got to just refresh the. Yeah, it's already done. All right, so let's play this and see what you got. I'm going to lower it to a reasonable level before I blow up my eardrums again. Here we go.
Pogoman of Paragon Radio Podcast is raising money for his local Children's Miracle Network Hospital COVID-19 Impact Fund, working with extralife.org. Help him raise money for his local children's hospital. You can check out the links on Paragon Dawn's Facebook page and Dawn Radio's Facebook page. Help the children as Pogoman goes to gaming for the children.
I just picture what Rain always adds in. And if you don't, you hate the children. No, Rain, shut up. Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. Turns them away from doing that. Don't. Good Lord, don't tell them that.
Now, her heart's in the right place, okay?
I know it is, just because it doesn't mean you say something like that. If you don't help, you're a Nazi. Oh my God! Don't say that.
And you left the chat room.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I leave the chat room?
I don't know. You did.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I left the chat. Am I right? What's that? How did I leave the chat room? Right here. Am I back in the chat room?
Now you are.
Oh, okay. I know what I did. I went back to the main. Oh, okay. I see what I did. Okay. I know what happened. Okay. I got it. Okay. That being said, Yes, because the other night we got a huge donation from somebody. I was like, holy crap. And that was like, you know, I was like, are we going to make the donation? Or are we gonna, you know, because they gave us some, yeah, Alto clued me in on this, that they were trying to get people to raise a certain amount for August. Like, I don't know. We'll try it. I was like, okay, we got a decent amount going for the first night. And all of a sudden, boom, that just put us over. I was like, good God. But, you know, here's the thing. If I could raise 200, I get, they give the people who are doing this a free t-shirt. And it's always cool to get it way ahead of time. See, I'm wondering if I get it early enough, would I get the t-shirt in time to wear this year, to wear for the marathon? This year, I think they're saying it's November 7th. And the way I work it is, I'm going to set it up to play to wear that weekend. Not every day. I don't know every day, but you know what I mean? Because I have plenty of I have a whole bunch of shirts. But,
Oh, there's a little black duck in the minefield. Yes, I see.
There's a what?
As a little black duck is in the minefield.
Yes.
Dressed as Bugs Bunny.
Okay, what does that mean? There's a little black.
That's that is Swack.
Oh,
his character,
okay.
Little black duck.
Oh, okay.
Dressed. It's wabbit season. It's duck season. Wabbit season. Duck season.
Okay. How about this? So that said, let's get to some updates here because 9:30, we have an hour left. Okay, let's start with the usual culprits.
All right.
The usual suspects. Let's start with Golden Girl.
Oh,
it's
drinking
really
game.
That one.
Drinking game. Those who are not familiar.
Yep.
And, if Pokemon detects
right,
a...
He posts this. I will do this. And I'll explain what happened. You could all drink away. And this is update number 403. I need a drink, not an alcoholic beverage, of course. This is update number four. Hold on a minute. Good Lord. Wow, man. All that talking.
He's already warming up.
Trying to raise money for charity. I know. I'm fine. All right. She posted this one at 8:17 tonight.
All
usually
right.
She waits till 2 a.m., so that'll tell you something. All right. This is update number 403. So this week, we've been doing more work to remove the restrictions and flaws that are forced onto the storytelling scope of an RPG by the way that the traditional multi- or single-player RPG design template makes use of NPCs to deliver the stories. Whether it's a story with just a single mission or a multi-mission story, it's almost always bookended by an NPC who acts as both the introduction to the story and the one who closes it out. And even if the player doesn't have to physically return to speak to the NPC, they generally still have to contact them in some way to finish the story. This restrictive design template is one of the main reasons why RPGs, no matter how they present their world and the player's role within it, always struggle to make the player feel like anything other than a fixer or errand runner performing an endless string of jobs and favors for the NPCs. Have a heroic villainous weekend, the heroes and villains team.
Oh, she behaved.
You're all staying. We're all staying sober tonight. In the immortal words of Alto, nie. Okay. We're on to some stuff from Tuesday. And once again, our dear friend Ruby Rose has resurfaced.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold it. I have an excellent update.
What?
Ship of Heroes.
From what? Wait. Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead. Continue with
all
the
right,
Ship
here we go. I will speed read this. On Saturday, we'll have
you
the
don't
first
have to
incident.
Wait. Take your time so we can understand it clearly.
On Saturday,
it's a news,
we'll have the
it's
first,
a news article.
Okay. We'll have the first instance of our next public event, an alien invasion reminiscence of the massive invasion and task force of City of Heroes. To prepare for this event, we created a big battle simulator within Ship of Heroes to test and perfect a few elements for larger invasions and big battle situations. Recall our simulation invasion, Operation Valhalla, and we are using it to figure out how big a big battle can be in Ship of Heroes. The way it works is conceptually simple. We pit AI-controlled heroes against wave of AI-controlled enemies. The combat is recorded by one of our devs, who gives us a real FPS value. We run the battle on our rented high-intensity server in Seattle to test the real servant-client communication. The dev who recorded the video is in Southeast Asia. We monitor performance several ways. When the computer stats function built in the Epic Games Unreal 4 engine, which tells us what is happening with great detail, with the FPF meter in the upper left as usual, with the UI box on the right-hand side that shows the setting for the simulator for ongoing results from the battle, and prolonged periods to assess network stability and functionality. The resulting chaotic brawl is pretty cool. We're not aware of any other pre-launch MMO that shows this sort of thing. Under the worst conditions, we can maintain 60 heroes and 90 Nagdelians, those are the aliens, in the same small area and still hold about 25 to 30 frames per second on a client computer with a 1070 GTX graphic card, which seems to be limiting factor in Ship of Heroes and in other games displaying large battles. 60 plus 9 is one of the highest counts for big battles on any modern MMO. Might push it even higher if there was enough popular demand for it. They're calling it Valhalla of the Norse mythology. It's kind of skimming on that one. And there's the upcoming event is going to be tomorrow, the 15th.
Oh.
So,
you're waking up.
It could be your headset again. We always go through this.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
No, it's like, it's weird. It's like, I know you're there. It's just, there are times like you pause. You take this long, it's weird. It's like this pause, and then you.
I could be breathing.
I don't know.
Anyway.
No. It's like you're talking, and then it's weird. It's like all of a sudden there's no noise at all from your headset. Like.
Well, I mean, we go through this, and people go, yeah, we still hear you.
I didn't say we don't hear you. It's just, it's weird. It's like what's the word on it? Like it's locking up?
Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's get back to the main meeting.
That's
Ruby
okay.
Rose.
Okay. Ruby Rose. Okay, so Ruby Rose offers more details about her Batwoman departure. You know, just let it lie already. All right? God, you're a wuss. We get it. Okay. Earlier this year, for those who don't pay attention to the show, shame on you. We covered this. Ruby Rose made a sudden exit from Batwoman, and she stepped down from her role as Kate Kane / Batwoman. Rather than recast Kate, the producers opted to hire Javicia Leslie as the new Batwoman. Rose was badly injured during the first. Now she's been badly injured during the first season of Batwoman, and she returned to production shortly after she had back surgery. Regardless of her recovery. Everybody take a drink. Shame on you, Super
no,
Hero.
You're not. Oh, okay.
What?
That wasn't Golden Girl.
It doesn't matter. I'm putting them in this too. They should know better. Rose recently told EW, you know, EW's abbreviation is EU, told that the injury wasn't the primary reason she left the show. It wasn't so much the injury, especially because after we wrapped up, we didn't get to finish the real finale because of COVID, said. Oh, good Lord, said Ruse. Wow, who's editing your stuff? Who's editing your story? Who is this? You know, you have time in quarantine and sort of isolation to just think about a lot of different things and what you want to achieve in life and what you want to do. I think for both me and the producers, it is a great opportunity to have a dialogue about a lot of things. I respect them so much, and they've been so respectful to me. Rose added that it was actually a beautiful way to do something, especially since that was the first time it's ever been done. The first time Batwoman has ever been played in live action, and that she was LGBTQ. I'm very honored to have been able to play her. When asked if she had any advice for her successor, Leslie Rose gave the new Batwoman another glowing endorsement. None! I think she definitely knows what she's doing, and she seems fantastic, related Rose. I think that, honestly, I was so proud and so happy when I was told who would be replacing me. I'm just really stoked. I'm definitely going to watch the next season as well and see how it all comes together. Batwoman Season 2 will premiere on the CW in early 2021. Okay. There you go. So basically, this is a rehashing of all the articles we've heard about. Okay. So, some news. This is all jumbled together. But we're going to read this article. So after 22 years, DC Direct / DC Collectibles is no more. So just 2 weeks ahead of DC Comics' big online fandom event, which is next Saturday, by the way, mass layoffs at Warner Brothers decimated the entire company. As a result, it looks like streaming service DC Universe's days are numbered, and collectible division DC Direct, previously also known as DC Collectibles, is done altogether, per the Hollywood Reporter. The company's recent most popular lines included a 6-inch series of Batman animated figures and 7-inch DC Comics based characters dubbed Essentials. When DC Universe launched initially, it offered an exclusive line of DC Collectibles animated Justice League figures. Part of the independent action figure boom of the 90s, led by Todd McFarlane's Spawn figures, DC Direct initially made figures based on DC and Vertigo properties, not considered big enough for mass retail. Sandman, Preacher, Swamp Thing, Promethea, and more got the kind of collectibles no other company would touch. And initially unable to make Superman and Batman figures so as not to compete with big toy companies, DC Direct ultimately helped define the difference in market share between specialty and mainstream retail. Regaining the rights to the former allowed them to make the major characters so long as they only sold at comic and boutique stores. The company made Watchmen figures long before anyone else, though they also canceled the line before release back when Alan Moore's opinion still mattered in DC. I'm sorry, to DC, and he asked his fans not to buy them. Okay, although DC Direct went all in on 6-inch scale for a while with its Icons line, 7-inch scale mostly stayed their thing. So when McFarlane Toys started doing DC in that scale, it seemed a warning sign. At the same time, DC canceled a proposed line of designer Lucha Libre-style figures. Rumors of the division's demise began then, and sadly, they paid off this week. By embracing comic-specific variant characters and animated styles in the same line, McFarlane has shown a tendency to continue DC figures in a similar vein. It's not as if Warner Brothers will ever stop merchandising their top characters. However, it's the secondary ones who will see less love. The likelihood of someone like Tom Strong ever seeing toy form again just went way down. Okay, which brings us to the big news earlier this week that hit everybody. I think that was Monday. So DC Comics, DC Universe staffers laid off in major Warner Media reshuffling. So the rise of HBO Max has led to major layoffs at DC. According to the – you still there, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Matt? Okay, just
yeah,
making sure.
Yeah.
How am I doing? Okay, am I okay?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me – before I – no. I got to
do that.
Okay. Make sure I don't get signed out of the game. Okay. So according to the Hollywood Reporter, following the launch of its premier streaming service, Warner Media, has decided to let go of a slew of high-powered executives at DC Comics and sister streaming service DC Universe as part of a major restructuring now underway. Sci-Fi Wire confirms that DC Comics COO Jim Lee will remain in his position and that his duties will expand to include supervising the creative side and all future DC-related initiatives. Among the biggest names being let go are DC's editor-in-chief Bob Harris, executive editor Mark Doyle, and senior story editor Brian Cunningham. Suffering similar fates are some major players on the publicity and marketing side, and most notably, senior VP of Publishing Strategy and Support Services, Hank Canals, VP of Marketing and Creative Services, Jonah Whelan, and VP Global Publishing Initiatives and Digital Strategy, Bobby Chase. The loss of Doyle is a particular tough blow for fans of DC's Black Label, the imprint he helped spearhead in 2018, which published graphic novels aimed at a more mature audience. No word on who will be replacing him. The corporate realignment also caused an earthquake at DC Universe, which saw the majority of its staff lose their jobs. The once promising video on demand service was meant to be the vanguard leading Warner Brothers into the streaming wars. Now, its one exclusive original show, Doom Patrol, is popping up under the DC option in HBO Max's ever-expanding hub, stirring speculation that DC Universe may eventually be aborted by the more prestige streaming service. Among the hundreds of layoffs at Warner Media today were numerous high-profile executives at Warner Brothers as well. Okay. Which brings us to earlier today. After a few days of speculation, panic, the sky is falling. Let me just get a drink here.
All right.
Because I was wondering about this all week. Ta-da-da. What does the new DC implosion mean for the comics publisher? So, the massive shakeup within DC Comics on Monday has led to much speculation about the future of the iconic comics publisher. Those concerns are valid given that the company reportedly laid off about one-third of its editorial team. After spending the past 24 hours talking to people inside and outside the company. Now, this is courtesy of Sci-Fi Wire. I'm sorry. We're starting to get a bit Sci-Fi Warrior to the rescue. I will ask